You're listening to episode 9 of the Mad Chatters podcast, November 26th, 2014.
Most everyone's mad here.
Hey, hey, and welcome to another episode of the Mad Chatters podcast, your very important date with the happenings at Walt Disney World and around the Disney universe. I'm your host, Derek, and rounding out the three caballeros tonight, we've got Matthew.
Yo-ho.
And Jeremy.
Hola.
On today's show, Jeremy, Matthew, and I will be discussing our Disney bucket list. Those experiences at the parks that we've never had, but that we really want to experience at some point. So I'm really looking forward to what you guys have written down. But first, let me just say, guys, happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, happy Yay. Thanksgiving.
It's my favorite holiday.
Is it?
No.
Or no?
Oh, I was gonna say, that's I mean, it's a good one, but I don't know a lot of people who would say that's their favorite.
It's kind of the forgotten holiday. I was actually going to find some Thanksgiving music to play for the podcast, but I don't think that exists.
I can think of one song.
What is it?
We Gather Together.
Oh, that's nice.
Is that Disney related?
No, it's like the, you know, Thanksgiving hymn.
Oh, I see.
I was thinking more Disney related, but...
Gotcha.
Thanksgiving is like the kickoff to Christmas for me. That's
it
just,
really is.
Yeah. It's like, I love Thanksgiving, but I'm not one of those purists that you can't listen to Christmas music before Thanksgiving.
Right. It's like the opening act, you know, is for Christmas. Christmas is like Cher, and then the opening act is Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Wait, you have to compare it to something, though.
Christmas!
Whoever...
Oh. What?
That was his Cher impression.
Christmas! Oh!
Oh my.
Don't forget about Thanksgiving.
I'll give thanks for you never doing that again.
It sounded more like Elvis than Cher.
Well, they're very similar. In fact, they're. Never mind.
In fact, I've never seen those two together, so Yay. Maybe they're
Whoa.
The same.
Oh, that's what
Conspiracy.
Happened.
Conspiracy.
What are we doing? Let's go. Let's get this.
All right. Okay. Well, it is Thanksgiving week, and I don't know about you guys, but whenever I think Thanksgiving and I think Disney World, I think Liberty Tree Tavern. So let's do some eating around the world, shall we? So Liberty Tree Tavern is a table service restaurant in Magic Kingdom, specifically in Liberty Square. And the three of us have actually eaten there together. So let's dig into it. You guys want to talk about the decor first?
Ooh, yeah.
It sounds like you like the decor. What do you like about it?
Would you like to comment some more?
Oh, no. Listen, I love both of those places over there, the Columbia Harbor House and the Liberty Tree Tavern, because they both have such an, I don't know how to describe it, an old school Magic Kingdom feel to it.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't feel very industrialized like a theme park. Not that anything else does, but it's just they're both cozy and quaint.
Yeah.
Let's say it that way.
That is the word I would use to describe both those, cozy and quaint.
Cozy is good. There's even a fireplace, isn't there, when you walk in?
Yeah.
Yeah, big fireplace.
And the rocking chairs.
And, I mean, just all the hardwood and the different levels, like the, you know, the steps, it just feels like an old tavern. And the upstairs bathroom.
I was just about to say, speaking of cozy, that bathroom is so tiny. Like, if you wash your hands in the sink, the people can't even get around you to use the toilet.
That was going to be my complaint about this hotel, but I mean, restaurant. Since you brought it up, I'll
may not stay there.
The bathroom is horrendous because you have that restaurant is pretty busy all day, every day. I mean, it's not like it laxes in people showing up to eat there. Why is the bathroom only like one stall and one urinal and one sink? That's
because
ridiculous.
It's just like it was in Colonial Williamsburg, one running toilet.
First off, if that's the way it was, we'd be peeing out back in the outhouse. It would not be upstairs.
Yeah, no, so what I'm saying is you should be thankful there is a bathroom. Gosh.
Well.
Some people.
Anyway. Just throw it in the street. So everyone is aware, okay, Liberty Tree Tavern is in the Liberty Square at the Magic Kingdom.
Like I said.
I didn't hear that. I'm sorry. And so the theme on the inside is colonial, like we said. It's got gas lamp looking things, some plates hanging, cast iron pots. Very, very cozy and very quaint.
Yeah, pictures of our country's leaders, Benjamin Franklin and such.
And manly women.
If you like America, the Liberty Tree Tavern is definitely for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. But as far as fare goes, that's a fancy word for food. They actually, like, describe themselves as giving a Thanksgiving-style feast every night. And that's what we had, right? We went for dinner, which
it's family style, all you can eat. They bring out all the fixings all at one time, and when you're done with one course, you just ask your waitress, and they bring you out a refill. I can't remember off the top of my head all of the menu items, but I'm sure one of you has it pulled up there.
I do. Mm-hmm. Well, lunch is a la carte, and I know like their pot roast is really popular at lunchtime. But yeah, we got the dinner, and it's got salad, roasted turkey, carved beef, sliced pork, mashed potatoes, stuffing, macaroni and cheese. I mean, pretty much what you think when you think of a Thanksgiving meal.
I am surprised by the... I just remembered this when I looked at the menu, but I do remember it's like mashed potatoes and stuffing and macaroni and cheese.
A lot of carbs.
Yeah, it's like
starch.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. When I was little, we didn't grow up with mashed potatoes at Thanksgiving. We had rice.
Oh.
Really?
Did you grow up in Cuba? Mashed potatoes just...
I was going to say, we have rice in Miami at Thanksgiving.
North Carolina. You know, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, that's kind of like, that is your starch, rice. Huh. Nobody eats potatoes.
No, we definitely had some potatoes in many different forms.
All gratin, yep. Mashed, exactly. Baked, you name
hash
it.
Hash brown casserole.
I mean, that being said, it is very holiday-esque, whether you are a turkey eater at Thanksgiving or you have the big carved roast beef. Don't know that anybody has smoked pork loin at their holiday gathering. But
it's true, but I remember the pork being my favorite part of it. It's all pretty standard.
I don't think I remember the pork. Is the pork like a ham? Very ham-like, isn't it?
That would
be what a smoked pork loin is, right?
Like in the taste or texture or what?
I remember it being very hammy. Texture, taste, and like it was pink.
It was pink, yeah, and it was like thin slices.
So it's basically just ham. They just don't want to say that. I mean, smoked pork loin is ham.
Okay.
I called it Canadian bacon, but whatever.
That's disgusting.
No, I enjoyed the meal. I honestly don't remember anything about the meal as far as things I liked or didn't dislike, which is probably a positive thing because I would have remembered the dislike more than the good things. But I do remember it was a hearty meal. It definitely fills you up.
Yeah.
You don't really ask for many refills because they bring you plenty. At least they did for us. And it was good. You know, I'll go back.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I really like the atmosphere too. Like all the people wear the almost like... American Revolution era costumes.
Yeah, they got their bonnets on.
Exactly, yeah. But she was real nice and brought us whatever we asked for. And I mean, it's all you can eat. I did like it.
Yeah. Sure. This is one of those places that is, it would be good for those who may not, I mean, you're not going to get anything too adventurous at most Disney World food restaurants. You'd be able to find something you like. But this is certainly one of those places where you can take someone who doesn't like much. For instance, my friend Jamie, who listens, doesn't like much of anything. But he did enjoy this place because it's basically like a Disney version of Cracker Barrel, which is his favorite restaurant.
That is the best way to describe this restaurant.
It's Southern comfort food, absolutely.
Yes, Disney-style Cracker Barrel. But let's talk about the best part of the restaurant. And that is a little unknown gym that a lot of people don't know is there. An unknown gym. You got me chuckled while I said that professionally. And that is the mugs. And when you order your beverage, they come in a special Liberty Tree Tavern mug. And I'm actually have mine now in my hand. And on one side, it says Liberty Tree Tavern with a nice Liberty Tree. And on the other side, you have Mickey and Goofy and Donald. In their colonial garb, holding an American flag with the colonial stars. And it says Spirit of 76, Liberty Tree Tavern. And you can actually buy this for $5 and take it home.
$10.
That's a really good value.
Anybody who has been to Walt Disney World knows you will not find a quality souvenir for $5. And this is not cheap plastic. It's not cheap glass. It's thick glass. It's a great mug. And another fun thing, if you don't eat at Liberty Tree Tavern, you can still go to the check-in desk and purchase them for $5, whether you dine at the restaurant or not.
I did not know that.
Yeah, well, yeah, so, because the ones they give you are not the ones you drink out of. They give you a clean one
to take home.
Yeah.
But
I figured they would make you eat there because it's so cheap. All you have to do is ask them,
and they will purchase. You can purchase them right there.
That's good.
Excellent souvenir. If you're looking for a cheap souvenir, something, and again, it's not tacky. It's very nice.
Oh, it's very nice.
If you're patriotic, classy. It's not tacky.
Well,
it's got the American flag on
it. It's not like in your face, not like George W. On it or anything.
It's not like, you know, and it's not red, white, and blue. It's just a standard blue ink and glass, you know, clear glass.
It's very nice, yeah.
It doesn't have a lot of color or anything. But anyways, it's a great souvenir.
Now, the dessert we got for dinner was the Johnny Appleseed cake. It's like a white cake with, like, caramel and apple and stuff. But one of the reasons I want to go back is at lunch they serve the ooey gooey toffee cake with caramel sauce and ice cream. And I've heard it's really good, and I would like to try that sometime.
I remember absolutely nothing about the Johnny Tremaine, whatever you just said, cake.
Johnny Tremaine. Johnny Appleseed.
Johnny Appleseed.
I barely remember it, too. I want to try the toffee cake, though.
Yeah. So
I don't remember if it's a cake, if it's like a pudding cake. I don't know. It sounds like it'd be hot, but I don't remember it at all. So obviously nothing very memorable about it.
This whole meal sounds like it was pretty forgettable except for the mugs based on what we're saying.
No, it's terrific. It's just, you know, it's good. It's like nobody brags about going down to the Bob Evans, you know. It's just food that's good and hearty and comforting, but not like I'm going to go home and brag about Liberty Tree. It's just a good, safe, comfort food place to go.
That's good.
And go here over Garden Grill anytime. The menu is very simple. The only thing you're missing at Liberty Tree is one piece of tilapia, you know, that they give you. But at least at Liberty Tree,
just
they won't
split among four people.
Yeah, you know, you won't be dripped on at Liberty Tree, and you won't have any sweaty waitresses giving you a hard time about ordering more food. They were always very apt to bring more when you wanted more at Liberty Tree.
All right, in keeping with our Thanksgiving theme, we're going to do some love letters to Disney.
Dear Walt, thank you for making the water rides smell so good. I would have never thought that the smell of highly chlorinated water and mildew could be such a welcomed and comforting aroma. Chronic lung disease could not hide its beauty. Every so often, I pause near a particularly stagnant air conditioning vent or a damp brick basement, and all I can do is close my eyes, breathe heavily through my nose, and escape to the chilly queue of Splash Mountain or the cool dankness of El Castillo del Moro, even if just for a minute. For that little mildew-inspired escape, thanks, Walt. Love, Matt.
Thank you, Walt, for the American Idol experience. An instant Disney classic. I am stunned, I dare say shocked, that this show closed after just 5 years of ear-bleeding bliss. Who would have thought opening an attraction based on a fading pop culture trend would not lead to a lifetime of joy and entertainment? There is nothing I enjoy more than hearing a plump soccer mom from Ohio belt out a version of Isn't She Lovely that would make Stevie Wonder envious of Helen Keller. But the American Idol experience made this possible 7 times a day. I miss you, AIE, and I hope that Disney executives will fill this void with the Voice experience, beginning in 2022.
Thank you, Walt, for the All-Star Resorts and for giving me a chance to visit your parks while slumming it with the rest of the middle-class folks from Middle America. All-Star movies, music, and sports remind me of my place in the hierarchy of Disneygoers while still allowing me to stroll into the Grand Floridian like I own the joint. Why pay for the subtle ritz and glamour of the contemporary resort and run the risk of forgetting I'm even at Disney World when I can wake up to a four-story Buzz Lightyear outside my window? Why eat a Hawaiian feast at the Polynesian when I can lounge by the pool watching High School Musical 3 on an inflatable screen with hundreds of small children? Thank you, Walt, for making me feel like an all-star. It's time for another round of It's the Small Things After All. And in this segment, we just talk about little parts of the park that might go unnoticed, but that we really like. I'll go ahead and go first. So mine is kind of reminiscent of what Matt said last time, but it's lights. And it's specifically the hanging lights in Asia, in Animal Kingdom, which you don't see a lot because Animal Kingdom, especially in the summertime, closes before it gets dark.
Right after lunch, it closes like at 1 o'clock.
So if you're there at like 2, no, at about dusk, they turn these on. And what they are is they're just basically bare light bulbs hung. I'm doing motions as if the people listening can hear me. But they're bare light bulbs that are strung in like a zigzag pattern all throughout Asia. And so if you're standing in the right place, you can kind of see Everest in the background with the lights in front of you, or depending on where you're looking. But they look really, really nice. And I think that park is so pretty at night. And it's a shame that until Avatar opens, you barely even see it at night. But that area especially, I love those lights. It really adds something to it. It almost feels like a beer garden or like a backyard patio at certain restaurants. You know, they've got the light strung up.
I was going to say like an Olive Garden.
Or like an Olive Garden.
Or like on Parenthood with Zeke and Camilla's backyard.
Yes.
Where they had the lights.
Former backyard. Spoiler.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are lots of good photos of this.
Absolutely, yeah. We'll put some on the show notes.
I look forward to it. I've never been to Animal Kingdom at night.
For some reason, I remember being in Animal Kingdom at night, and I don't remember when. It was like in night. It's like right when it first opened. But literally, that was 1998, and I don't think I've been in there after dark since then. I can't think there's been even a possibility to be in there after dark.
I haven't been, except for maybe once.
Well, most of the time that I'm there for an extended period, and we do Animal Kingdom, which would be the time to stay at dark or to dusk, I always feel like we make a nice reservation for that evening that we're in Animal Kingdom, and we leave early to go take a nap and shower and change for that reservation. But with the expansion, hopefully that means the park will be open later and have more opportunities to see it at night, because I'm sure the park is gorgeous at night.
All the pictures I see of all the different sections are so well lit and so pretty, and it's like it's really a shame that they can't use this and show it off.
Oh, I see the picture.
I just
Very
sent
nice.
Jeremy and Matt a text of some pictures I found.
Oh, I love
Maybe
that.
Maybe they'll get a restaurant that's worth staying in the park for.
Hey, I still like Yak and Yeti.
Actually, Tusker House is pretty good.
That is amazing. Dinner. Are these Tom Bricker pictures?
One is Tom Bricker. I don't know who the other one is, but if I put them on show notes, I'll be sure to give credit where credit is due.
I love that one with Everest there.
That's very lovely.
That is Tom Bricker, yes. If our listeners don't know, there are several photographers out there who pretty much spend a lot of their time in the parks, and almost all of their pictures are exclusively of Disney parks, and they're very, very talented, and Tom Bricker is one of them. So if you look at him on Flickr or Instagram,
colors are just so magical.
Right.
Well, maybe we can link his name into the show notes.
I will do that.
You do yourself a favor, follow him on Twitter or Instagram. You won't regret it.
All right, well, Matt, what is your small thing that you enjoy?
I've mentioned this several times, but I'm going to bring it and make it official here. And there's actually two places in which you can find these, and they are the man-made ponds. One is at Epcot at Future World. I forget which side. Which side is the land and the seas?
Ooh. I can't recall.
I can't either.
Okay, that's
side.
Do I
know what you're talking about?
Outside of imagination.
Yeah, underneath the monorail track. Because, you know, most of the bodies of water at Disney World, whether they're lakes or lagoons or just the ponds, are just, you know, Floridian-style sinkholes in which water has appeared. But these two places, one being at Epcot in that Future World area, and the other Echo Lake at Hollywood Studios, I don't know. It's just that they, it's like a pristine little swimming pool, and it's like an advertisement for your hotel swimming pool. So it's, you're just hot and sweaty and nasty, and you walk by. I remember when I was a little kid, I just wanted to jump in the one at Epcot all the time, and that's one of the reasons I want to be a duck, because they can just go get in that water all the time.
And they do.
I mean, it's enough when you're hot enough and that water looks so refreshing. It's almost enough to make you leave the resort, like leave the park. I need to go back and swim in the pool. No.
So the thing you love about the park is something that makes you want to leave the park and go back to your hotel.
That is something I like about it.
They are nice. And the one at Epcot, it's not very deep either. It's only like...
No, it's like a nice little... They should... If they had like... If they charged like $5 for you to get in there, I'd pay $5 and get in there. Stick my little tootsies in there.
I prefer Echo Lake, but definitely, yeah. I think those add a lot to a park.
I just take off all my clothes and go roll around in Future World, west, east, wherever it is.
And then you'll get everybody else to leave the park, too, and go back to their hotels.
Yeah. There are lots of things I would do that I would probably get kicked out of Walt Disney World for and never be able to return, and that would just be sad. So I refrain from being naked in the pools at Walt Disney World for that reason.
And the world takes a collective sigh.
Okay, Jeremy, you go.
My It's a Small Thing is something I didn't discover until this past spring, but from what I understand, it is there not frequently, but at least annually. And that is at the UK Pavilion during the Flower and Garden. They have a Twinings Tea Garden in the UK Pavilion. And it's located, if you know where Alice meets and greets there, but kind of by the tea shop, by the main walkway, it's to the, if you're looking at Alice, it's to the left. So it's kind of in this area that really is not open to the public, or maybe it is, but maybe it's a garden or something the rest of the year, but not a lot of people walk through there. It's not a high traffic area is what I'm trying to say. So it's kind of off the beaten path, but they put all these tea plants, and then the thing I love is it's just so peaceful to me, and I love tea, and so I'm instantly was hooked. And they have giant teacups as planters throughout it, so the tea is growing out of these giant, fun, whimsical teacups, and they have little information signs that tell you about the tea and what kind of tea is growing there. And then I didn't discover this until I was looking this up online today, that on the weekends, they offer free tours of this tea garden with a guy who apparently knows his stuff, and he will explain the tea to you and explain the process of how they grow it and harvest it and make the tea that you enjoy at home. So it is just wonderful. If I ever become rich, I will put a tea garden that looks just like it in my backyard because, like I said, it's just very relaxing.
Is there a chance for you to drink the tea?
Well, I mean, you can go into the – no, because it's growing. But, I mean, the tea shop is right there. You can go in and buy tea if you want. But this is, like, actually, like, a live tea, not harvested tea.
They should do, like, tea flights.
Tea flights?
Like three small shots of tea, basically.
Oh, that like a tea tour.
That would be fabulous. I would. Oh,
that'd be more food and wine. But I guess Flower and Garden has food nowadays too, doesn't it?
Yeah, I would pay for that. If they had like a little like tea, you know, a tea sampler for like if you did the tour and a tea sampler for $20, I would totally pay for that.
Yeah, they give you like 10 small samplings of some Twinings tea. Because you're I mean, they're guaranteed sales. People are going, I like that. And I'm gonna be snobby and go in here and buy me some tea from Twinings.
Yeah. At least you guys recognize that tea is snobby.
Oh, I am a total
I star. Love tea. Now, what you just, all that stuff you just said made my tea love look like hatred, but you're a man that loves your tea.
That's good. Do. And I'm is Anglophile, is that the right word for people who love British things? I'm an Anglophile.
Or just white people.
I am
That's
a white
Anglo-Saxon.
Person.
Anglo-Saxon.
anything UK related, I really enjoy for the most part. And so this tea garden is just amazing. And then you can look up and see Alice from Alice in Wonderland in the corner. I mean, that's perfect.
I think it's neat that Disney offers that. Just another small thing. I personally will never go to that, but you all knock yourselves out.
It's free. That's the best part, too. Like, easily they could have charged somebody to do, you know, right. Like a $5 entrance or something. But no, it's free. You just walk in and enjoy, and the tour is free. So next Flower and Garden, I look forward to taking the tour, and I will
give a post.
get yourself some.
When we come back, we share our Disney bucket list. On this week's show, we're going to share our Disney bucket list. Things at the parks we have always wanted to do, or maybe recently have decided we want to do. Okay, I'm going to go first, if that's okay. And disclaimer, I want to do everything, like, at some point. I mean, I have my entire life.
The end of the show.
It's a short show tonight, folks.
Stay at all the resorts, eat all the restaurants, everything. But, obviously, I've narrowed it down a little bit. First, there are a few things I mentioned when we did the Mad Q party, and that is staying at Beach Club Resort, eating at Victoria and Albert's chef's table. Those are definitely the highest on my list. But first, you guys will not be surprised, but I have some food items that I would like to try. Okay, one I mentioned last time was school bread. I still have not tried this, and I know I'm going to love it, so that's on the list.
Yes.
At the ESPN Club on Boardwalk, they have the peanut butter and jelly burger with bacon and jalapenos. Very intriguing to me. I just want to try it.
Vomit.
At Disney...
Wait, what is it? Say it again.
Okay, it's a peanut butter... Okay, it's a burger.
Yeah.
And there's peanut butter and jelly, jalapenos, and bacon on it.
That just sounds disgusting.
It sounds interesting, and they wouldn't sell it if at least one person didn't like it.
If it didn't sell well, then they wouldn't say. Have you ever seen Twilight Zone, the movie?
No.
From the 80s? There's like a weird family on there that puts peanut butter on their burgers, and they're like Satanists.
There you go. No, it's becoming
conspiracy.
No, well, that's up there with the Pop-Tart breakfast sandwich. As far
no.
as no, stop putting
different
things together.
Levels.
Peanut butter goes well with savory things.
I think so too.
But
the
jelly
is interesting. But I
jelly
mean,
and jalapenos.
They make jalapeno jelly.
Yeah,
but not. I'm
not
at,
with
but
grapes.
I'm sure it's grape jelly.
It is.
Have you ever had grape jelly on a sausage biscuit?
No,
that's delicious.
It's not my favorite, to be honest, but that is an excellent point you make, Matthew. Another item, this is at Disneyland, but I definitely want to try it. It's the 24-layer cake. Have you guys seen this? Disney Parks blog posted a video of it. I'll try to link to it on the show notes. And they showed how they make it. And it really is 24 layers, 12 layers of really thin cake. And then 12 layers of almost like a mousse that holds them all together. It's insane. Wow.
Is it a vanilla cake or a chocolate
cake? No, it's
cake?
All chocolate. The mousse and everything. Ooh. Oh my gosh. Jeremy, you would die. It looks so good. Mm. And the final item, you've probably heard of this, is the kitchen sink at Beaches and Cream on the boardwalk.
Yes.
It is a massive dessert for three of us and probably 10 more people. It's got a total of 10 scoops of... I looked at the ingredients. I didn't even want to list them because there are way too many. But it does have 10 scoops of different flavored ice cream. It's got brownies and cookies and a banana and sprinkles and all sorts of sauces. And then when you order it, it comes in an actual sink type bowl that's designed like a sink. And that apparently they shout kitchen sink whenever somebody orders it for their table. So it's just something
okay,
I want to
no.
be able to. What?
Oh, Rainforest Cafe. You know, they did a volcano thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Volcano.
Like that, except better and Disney. But anyway, it's just something I want to be able to say I've eaten that, or at least ordered it, you know.
That's probably a 20,000 calorie ice cream dish.
I cannot even imagine. I mean, I would not make a dent in it.
Jeremy.
Yes.
You're not allowed to talk about how bad things are for you anymore.
Okay.
Food items.
Why?
A giant kitchen sink sundae is going to be bad for you.
Oh, of course. And you're at Disney. You're on vacation. Come on.
I know. Just eat it.
Yeah.
I say that because I was listening to...
Thank you for the tongue lashing. I will keep that in mind.
I was listening to my battered burger thing from the other week. And the first thing out of your mouth is, that sounds so bad for you.
Well, Jeremy only drinks tea and eats carrots, So.
Well, I have put on a pound or two here recently, so I'm trying to take it off. So everything that I hear that sounds good, I have to tell myself, no, Jeremy, no.
Well, be prepared, because when I come to Orlando in February, we're ordering that kitchen sink, and we're going to devour it among three of us.
Sounds good. We'll tear it down. I'll be anorexic for the next month.
Okay. That's healthy. All right. Do you guys have any food things, or do you want to talk about something else on your list?
I have a food thing. And that is, and I don't have many comments to make off of it because I really didn't look too deep into it, but one of the things I saw on the Disney food blog is they recommend a milkshake crawl. And that is going to the different restaurants and things throughout the world that offer unique and fun milkshakes.
I don't know. That sounds bad for you.
It does sound bad for you, and that sounds like a lot of dairy on the belly, but I think it would be fun to do, you know, to take a – maybe not a day, but maybe a few days and hit them up. Because I think there was like 10 or so listed on the blog.
I was going to say, I know the peanut butter and jelly milkshake at Primetime Cafe.
Yeah, which also does not sound appealing to me.
Oh, it's so good. Oh, my gosh. It's really thick.
Yeah. I like peanut butter and jelly, but I think this is why I have a thing against it. When I was a child, I was one of those kids that only liked to eat like one thing, and that it was peanut butter and jelly. And like for breakfast, lunch, and dinner for like 3 years of my life, I just wanted peanut butter and jelly. And my parents, irresponsible or not, they gave it to me. And I hit this point where I got so sick and tired of peanut butter and jelly, I promise I did not eat PB&J for 10 years.
Wow.
And it was only like when I got to college that I started eating it again. And so I still kind of have like a gag reflex initially when I hear PB&J, even though I like it. I had a peanut butter sandwich today. So
how's that working for you?
Great.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Me either. I didn't know
about it. That's Dr. Phil's thing. After you explain all this stuff from your childhood, how's that working for you?
Let's just throw a disclaimer that Matt is a little sleep deprived this week.
No, I'm fine.
Got a little screaming child at home, new baby, whom he loves. He just wishes she would shut up and
go to sleep for a little while.
Matt, you're up.
I have two food things, and I could go on and on about different food items. Although I have to say, counting myself a bit of a foodie, you do put me to shame. As I was mentioning, Derek, you put me to shame. As I was mentioning to you earlier, you read up so much and find all these little things. I have two like restaurants that
I'm
just really.
You, I could look at pictures and descriptions of food all day long. And
I can believe it because these things I've never heard of. And like I said, I consider myself a foodie and pretty knowledgeable about Walt Disney World. But you say things that I've never even heard of. So.
No, but you're definitely a foodie.
You need to. You can be my my food guide.
Your food guru.
My food voila.
Your food guru.
Before we make a pit stop at drink voila.
Yeah. Voila my food over here to me. I have two restaurants that I put on here specifically things I want to get to. Let's just say I want to get to them soon. Like they're at the top of my list to do. And that is Victoria and Albert's. And I would even just say the restaurant, but the chef's table would be great too. And the Yachtsman Steakhouse.
Yes.
Yeah, I hear mixed reviews on it, but the reviews that I hear that are good are like superb.
Really?
They go there every time. So I want to go try that out. The steak sounds good. The bread with the fresh roasted garlic that they give you at the beginning sounds good. And so those are kind of my two food items. I had to sort it out through a lot of them, but those are my two top.
And what resorts are those in? I know Victoria and Albert's is in Grand Floridian.
The Yachtsman is at the Yacht Club.
Yeah. I just wanted to clear it up for our listeners.
Yeah,
don't
judge
me.
Sure. It's
signature dining, so it'll be 2 points on your dining plan and about $50,000 from your billfold.
And your firstborn child.
Yeah.
It's really not. I looked at that menu not that long ago, and I think most items range between like 40, 50. So, I mean, it's doable, but
it's about the price of Le Cellier now.
Yeah.
So.
Which is where? If we're going to help our listeners.
In the Canada Pavilion at Epcot.
Yeah. The legendary steakhouse. While we're on the subject of the Yachtsman and the Yacht Club, another one of mine is to stay at the Yacht Club obviously, I've said that before, but specifically bucket list during Food and Wine Festival.
Oh, yeah.
So I can easily travel and enjoy the different samplings of food from around the world. So
you can just walk off all your calories on the way back to the hotel and then head back for some more.
Hey, we are not talking about calories.
No calories. This ain't Oprah.
Well, it's not Dr. Phil either.
Or Dr. Oz or any of them.
Yeah. Oh, you know, actually kind of related to food, I eventually want to try every soda at Club Cool in Future World of Epcot. They've got the flavored soda from around the world. And I've tried one. But
there's
like,
only like
it gets
six.
So packed in the... No, there are more than six. They're like
no, there are like... There are different stations.
It's the same six sodas.
It's the same six sodas.
No.
Yes.
Yeah. But still, if you've only done one, it's still worth going in there and doing.
I've only done one because it's so crowded in there and people
it's annoying.
Are shoving and it's all sticky.
People filling up their thermoses.
So they can go back to the All-Stars because they can't afford soda. So.
Siphoning Beverly into their coolers.
Beverly, I have not tried that one, but that's the one I always hear about.
What's the one that is like a melon flavored? Is that Beverly?
No, that's that South African one, I think.
No, Beverly's apparently the nasty one that everybody's like, come here, you got to try this.
It's like skunk flavored carbonated water.
In fact, when they changed out all the flavors maybe a year ago, Beverly was the only one they kept. And I think it's because people have so much fun making their friends drink it.
Hey, here's an interesting little tidbit. I don't know if this is still in there when they redid it, the soda flavor, but there was a apple soda from Mexico in there for a long time. And if you are a Taco Bell fan, which I'm not, but I eat there once in a while, they now have that apple soda in their fountains.
Oh, wow.
Interesting.
Yeah. So a little Disney magic at the taco smack for you.
Whenever I need a taste of Disney, I'll just drive to my local Taco Bell.
I forget which one it is, but the melon-flavored one is my favorite.
Okay. And it's free, which is nice. It's kind of rare at Disney World to do something like that. So enjoy it while you can.
Yep.
All right. Who's next?
My bucket list, one of them, is something that I have seen done on blogs and by people. It's been done a few times, but I would like to try it personally. And that is to try and ride every ride at Walt Disney World in all four parks in one day. And I want to say, according to the Walt Disney World website, what they classify as rides, not shows and not those kind of things, but actual something you ride, there's 46 of them in the four parks. And so you really have to be strategic, because I know they count like the cars on Main Street as a ride, according to the Disney World website.
Okay.
And so you have to be there. They only run from like 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., so you have to make sure and time it right.
What was the number you just said?
I think it's 46.
See, now, this past week, didn't someone do that?
I saw that. Well, the first time I ever saw it was like a year ago. Two guys attempted it. But then I just saw when I was looking it up to check my facts today, I saw somebody did it like last week, and it made
And they threw that number up, and I'm like, that's impossible, because I think I tried the other day to count. There are at least 30 ride attractions at the Magic Kingdom alone.
Well, they don't count. It's ride things. So they don't count Enchanted Tiki Room. They don't count like Monster
Country Bear.
Yeah, that's not in it. It's actual ride. So you're talking like Space Mountain, Jungle.
What about Carousel of Progress?
I don't think that counts. I think that's a show. That falls under the show.
So that might take out like five. I guess then that gives you a good 21 to work with.
Yeah,
man, you do have to be strategic, because you got to ride those Main Street vehicles before 11, and then you got to head over to Animal Kingdom and ride everything there before lunchtime when they close, apparently.
And somehow get on Toy Story Mania.
Yeah, somehow. That's a good point.
I mean, good
and
luck.
Soarin'.
The guys that did it the first time, they have a YouTube video. It's like 10 minutes long, but it's really edited together, so that way
they did it,
it shows you all. But they started with extra magic hours. Like, they played by the rules as far as, like, normal park stuff. They didn't
break
do
in
like a special, like it wasn't like the 24-hour night or anything like that.
But they used morning extra magic hours and an evening extra magic hours.
Yes, they did. That's, it.
Yeah,
and I think when they did it, there were two rides under refurb. So what they ended up doing was riding two rides twice to kind of make up for that time. But they still had time to spare, so they easily could have done it all. But it took them all day, and they showed them like we're getting tired. It's, you know, it's like, oh, we got to go here next. And it really wore them out because it was like a good, I think it took them like 15 hours to do by the time they started to ending at like midnight. But I think it would be fun to try.
Absolutely,
it would just be a cool thing to do.
I assume they had their own car and didn't try to wait on the buses, you know?
Well, I don't know that for sure, but buses would be a wrench. That is for sure.
Yeah.
I would be so ticked if I was so close and then because a bus took so long, I missed out on it.
But maybe in the future, down the road, the Mad Chatters, on one of our trips, we can attempt Mad Chatter 46. Hashtag MC46. And you can follow us on Twitter.
All right. MC46. That's great.
There might be like one Mad Chatter left at the end of the day.
Someone will die, no doubt.
It might be like split up.
It'll be Derek with his PB&J burger.
I'll be like, you guys go on. I'm good right here. One thing I want to do is sometimes I don't know how they offer this or who they offer it to, but I've seen private parties that have dinners on attractions. Specifically, I've seen Haunted Mansion and the Great Movie Ride, where they get on it and there's like a whole counter of drinks and they're fed a meal. I don't know how you get hooked up with that, but I want to be. I think that would be cool.
And I've seen it at the American Adventure in Epcot. It's like where the Voices of Liberty sing. They'll set up tables in there.
Well, that's not as fun.
That's not as fun, but I'm just saying that there's different options. But the one I've seen with the Great Movie Ride, it's like they're eating on the track.
Yeah.
In like the Western scene. And I'm like, that looks awesome, but...
What do you eat in the Haunted Mansion?
Yeah, I didn't see the Haunted Mansion. Where do they eat there?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question.
No, I've heard of it, but I don't know where they would eat.
I've heard about it. I don't know where either. Honestly, both of those sound cool, but I would prefer to eat where there's not audio animatronics, because that sounds kind of creepy, but I would do it if that were the only option.
No, I would probably give my left arm to be able to, like, to eat dinner in, like, the ballroom scene.
Okay. Yeah.
Of the Haunted Mansion and to see all that behind the scenes stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. That creeps me out.
I think it would be fun to eat on the Great Movie Ride, assuming that I can walk through the attraction to get to the tables and take my time looking at everything.
Yes.
And then leaving out, you know, walking through. I think that would be the highlight, is being able to be on foot and getting a little closer to the
candlelight dinner in Pirates of the Caribbean.
That would be interesting.
You need to go eat at the Blue Bayou in Disneyland, I think.
Oh, there you go. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they got it. Why don't they get all the good stuff?
That would be a fun Mad Q Party question. Which attraction would you like to eat in?
Save it. I'm writing it down.
Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh.
As it bounces. And you're
right around the ticker. Tell you, vomit.
All right, Matt, you go ahead.
After looking at my list, I have a number of ones that are about places that I would like to stay. So I'm going to start with one, and I'll come back and kind of round it out later. One of the things I've always wanted to do since when I was younger, my uncle had a nice camper, and we would go down and camp a lot at the campground. And I think it'd be nice to maybe rent a really nice camper and stay at the Fort Wilderness campground. I don't know. It's the nostalgia factor for me, but the campground's really nice, and it's got a good feel to it. It feels like you're away from everything. All of their facilities are really, really nice to be a campground.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's just a nice feel to it.
I am not a camp person at all. I do not want to sleep in any kind of... No, none of that. But I had some friends that had an RV. They went down. They invited me to come down with them. I stayed with them one night. I went to the bathhouse to shower, and I kid you not, it was nicer than most hotel rooms I've ever been in. As far as the cleanliness... And, you know, for being a campground, I was so impressed. Like, it did not feel dirty. It did not feel mildewy. Nothing. Mm-hmm. It was great. So, for somebody who hates camping, I was pleasantly surprised because I was expecting the worst.
Now I'm intrigued because I hear campground and bathhouse. And I'm like, no, I'm out. I'm done.
Well, it's what you think of, like, for, like, if you've ever been to a campground where you walk in and there's, like, a long row of sinks, a long row of toilets, and then
graffiti
there's...
graffiti on the walls and creepy men in the corner.
No, of course, none of that. Obviously, none of that. But they have, like, the shower stalls that you walk in, it has a changing room, you know, a little changing area, and then the shower. But again, very clean, no bugs, no, you know, it doesn't feel dirty. Like, you know, how that kind of stuff gets easily filthy. very well kept. I was
very close. Like, surprisingly, I mean, this is the case with most Disney resorts. They do a good job of making you feel like you're away from everything, at least the moderates, in my experience. But this one, I mean, you are kind of out there in the woods, but it really does capture the feel of being out in the wilderness somewhere, you know, secluded from all the hustle and bustle. Plus, you got Trails End, which is apparently a really good restaurant. Never eaten there before.
I've heard that.
Hoop-Dee-Doo is there if you like that. That was entertaining. And you get that wonderful boat ride back and forth to the Magic Kingdom that is positively relaxing at the end of an evening.
We need to do Hoop-Dee-Doo. I've heard good things about it.
Yeah.
Hoop-Dee-Doo, hello.
That's on my bucket list.
Very similar to the campgrounds is the Cinderella Castle Suite. I would love to stay there someday as well. Or absolutely. Just see it. I just want to see it, you know? Walk up in the castle.
I want to take a bath in the jacuzzi tub there. That'd be fun.
Ooh, that does sound nice. One, this is really simple, but I've never seen the Candlelight Processional, which is the Christmas... It's the reading of the Christmas story, and then, like, a choir sings, and a professional... someone famous narrates it, I guess.
A professional reader.
I guess he's a professional actor, but...
Yeah.
Anyway, they read the Christmas story. I would just like to see it sometime. It's at Epcot and World
Showcase. Yeah, it takes place in the American Gardens Theater. 50-piece orchestra, mass choir, celebrity narrator recounts the Christmas story. They do it usually three times a night. 5 o'clock.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, 5 o'clock, 6:45, and 8:15. And some of the celebrity narrators that are going to be there this year, it starts on November 28th, Jodie Benson, the voice of Ariel, Neil Patrick Harris, Whoopi Goldberg, LeVar Burton, Edward James Olmos, Cheetah Rivera, Anna Gasteyer, Marley Matlin,
ooh.
Blair Underwood, Stephen Curtis Chapman, a couple people I've never heard of. But anyways, I've seen the show probably 3, 4, or 5 times.
So it goes with the list of celebrity narrators.
Yeah, quote-unquote celebrity.
I know him, and he was in that thing that one time, and she's the voice of that, and now I don't know the rest of these people.
The two I remember seeing is Jodie Benson and Neil Patrick Harris in years past, and they were both great. Very memorable and just fun. You can tell the celebrities that are kind of there and just read it, and then you can tell the celebrities that really enjoy it, and you can tell they liked it. So, but it's beautiful, absolutely gorgeous. Of course, with that huge choir, and the choir is actually made up of a lot of high school and college choirs from different schools that come down.
I was just about to say, my sister-in-law's the high school she went to. They're in it every year, and this year they're doing it Christmas Day.
Oh, wow. But they also have cast member choir. And I talked to a cast member one time, and she talked about the process of you have to audition for it, and they only select a certain number, and then you have to guarantee that you can be a part of it. And it's volunteer. It's not a paid thing, although they do get some free tickets for being a part of it. But it's just a very nice, well-done thing. Voices of Liberty is a part of it. It's great.
Yeah, I would like to see it sometime.
Well, my next bucket list item is something that has a very strong nostalgic factor to me, and that is I would like to meet the Disney Afternoon characters. I started going to Disney World when I was in college, after the Disney Afternoon had come and gone. But as a child of the late 80s, early 90s, all through the 90s, I guess, I love the Disney Afternoon. Tailspin, DuckTales, Chippendale Rescue Ranger, Goof Troop, Darkwing Duck, Gummy Bears, you name it, I was hooked
on. Bonkers.
Bonkers. They were all just so great, and I have a lot of it on DVD, and I still go back and watch it. And it just has such a beautiful, nostalgic feel that it gives me. And these characters still make appearances from time to time, especially like for some of the run events and the marathons and things. You'll see Darkwing Duck out there. You'll see Baloo in his Tailspin outfit. Yeah, I want them to come back for special.
Did you happen to see the pictures from the annual pass holder event in Disneyland this past week?
This past week, no, but I saw one they did before, and I was so jealous because they brought a whole bunch of them out.
Well, this wasn't a whole bunch, but it was Launchpad.
Ugh.
And Don Carnage, the villain from Tailspin.
Tailspin, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's weird. I didn't even know they had a character with him, but
yeah. I want to meet the Gummy Bears. I know I've seen their costume characters walking around before, and it's just, again, it's a nostalgic thing, but it's not. I just don't understand why they don't do more things like that, because it's. Yeah. I don't think it's that much of an extra cost,
right?
And just have one spot in the parks, Magic Kingdom. Do it at Hollywood Studios. Have one spot where it's
a great place.
It's a rare character meet, and it's just different every week. And 1 week it's going to be Darkwing Duck, and next week it's going to be a gummy bear. And next week it's going to be even things from the movies. Just a rare character. Because I think there are a lot of people out there who desire to meet characters that are not just the Fab Five.
Right.
Well, yeah, just look at last year when they had the limited time magic and they announced a few weeks before who was coming. Those lines were like 4 or 5 hours long just to meet those rare characters.
Jeremy, have you ever YouTubed or looked up the old Disney afternoon show that used to be in Mickey's Tomorrow, Starland, or whatever it used to be called?
Yes.
It was. And the Disney Afternoon Parade they used to have.
Ooh, now I have
Magic Kingdom.
I have not seen the parade, but I did watch the show, and it
the
is
parade,
wonderful.
Well, the music will send shivers down your spine, because, like 3 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
It was like, it's time for it to come on TV, but you're there at the park, and the theme music starts playing over the speakers. Whatever it is. Disney Afternoon.
Yeah, step right up and come on in. Here's where the fun begins.
Here's the Disney Afternoon.
Getting ready for you. Everybody's busy bringing you a Disney Afternoon.
There
hey,
it is.
You feel the fun, don't you? Anyways.
Disney Afternoon.
I felt like I was there, Matt.
I know, right?
It's like, wow.
Oh, no, it was good. No, for real, though. That was good.
So bring out some more rare characters so I can meet them, please.
Yeah.
Entertainment Weekly, a couple of months back, maybe like a year back now, they ripped on the gummy bears. And I tweeted the guy and I was like, I will no longer listen to your podcast because you were ripping on the gummy bears. And he laughed and like retweeted me. And I was like, no, you don't understand. I'm serious.
I will kill you.
Like he was making fun of the thing.
What was wrong with the gummy bears?
He was just talking about how corny like the premise was and how bad the lyrics and the theme song is. And anyways, I have not listened to him ever since. So that, Dalton Ross. I know you're listening now.
Yeah.
He's our number one fan until now. Okay, you go ahead.
This is right back to places. I don't know why I center on these. I guess because I feel like I've eaten enough places. So just those two places. But a lot of mine, after looking at my list, are places I would want to stay. So I'm just going to kind of list these as it goes. I would like to stay at a DVC resort, particularly, I don't know why, particularly Old Key West or Boardwalk.
I knew that was coming.
Or Boardwalk, and you can do the DVC rentals and stuff. I'd love to try that out and see if it works. Within the DVC thing, I would love also one day to be able to do, get a big grand villa with a lot of friends or even my whole family, particularly Wilderness Lodge or Animal Kingdom Lodge. Yes. They seem to suit that the best. On top of that, I would like to stay in any deluxe resort. I've only ever stayed in the Contemporary, and that was like for one or two nights at a time. But my big one, this is like actual, I guess, I don't know. I would like to resort hop, and I mean by that, do a split stay at one resort and another. I don't know.
Yeah.
That seems fun to me.
How many nights, though, do you think is sufficient for staying?
Think two. I would do like two and two. Now that I'm a Florida resident, I'm not going to be taking like huge week-long vacations up there necessarily. But I would see like two and two, do like four nights over a weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, because see, I've thought about doing the resort hopping. But when I go to a resort, I kind of like to feel like
you're there to stay.
I'm there to stay, and this is my home for this week. And I'm,
I would even do, I want to stay in a deluxe resort so much. I would probably do like a whole week at like Pop Century or something, or a value resort. And then I would be okay doing just like one night at a deluxe resort. But I would make a night of it. Like if I was staying at the Polynesian, I would make sure I want to go swim in their pool that night. I'm going to go eat Ohana that night. And, I'd make it a whole experience so I get the most out of that one night.
Yeah, it's just so expensive. I mean, I know people can afford it, but
I'm telling you, the way to go is these DVC rental places, and I haven't tried it yet, so I don't know how far out you have to be able to let them know, but if you want that experience, it's pretty cheap.
That sounds nice. I would love to stay in all the resorts at some point, like I said earlier, but
that is a good bucket list goal, stay in all the
resorts. Yeah, yeah.
Next thing on mine is I would like to attend the taping of the Christmas parade at the Magic Kingdom.
Power to you.
Well, yeah. I know it sounds horrible, but it would just be a fun experience to say you were there, I think. It's kind
we'll
of
go enjoy the toilet bowl sundae or whatever it is while you're doing that.
Well,
kitchen sink.
Toilet bowl. Stay away from the chocolate ice cream in that one. Every year, the Disney parks put on a parade on Christmas Day. And a lot of people don't realize this, but it's not live. It's all recorded previously. And in fact,
you're ruining the magic.
It's actually all kind of pieced together over weeks because they will record the music acts and things when that artist is available and then edit it in. But I don't want to be there for any musical act. I want to be there for the parade coming down the street. Now, I've heard it's miserable because it is packed and it's a long day because they will actually bring down the float and then back it back up and bring it down again to get all the shots they need for it. So I heard it's long, but again, it'd just be something fun to say that you were there to experience it. I am a little upset this year that they have renamed it. It used to just be like the Disney Parks Christmas Parade, but now it's the Disney Parks Frozen Christmas Celebration.
Of course it is.
And so, again, we have a reputation for being Frozen haters, which we're not, but it's overexposed. And
say something. I was going to bring this up at the top of the show. I forgot. Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, is the 1 year anniversary when that movie came out. It feels like it's only been a year.
I know.
Yeah. 1 year.
It is now in 3 of the 4 parks.
Like, yeah.
How is it? It hasn't even been a year since it came out. It's ridiculous.
But it would be fun to see the parade and then to watch it on Christmas Day and find you in the crowd.
I would settle for being – I mean, I get you. I wouldn't want to be anywhere near the parks on a day like that. I've been near the park on Christmas Day, and it was closed for reaching capacity at like 9 o'clock.
No, they don't film it on Christmas Day or anywhere near
Christmas
Day.
No, I know. I've been there when it is that crowded. That's what I'm saying.
Okay,
I've been there when it is packed out, and it is awful. Mm-hmm. You want nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
I don't care if Justin Bieber is there.
Yeah, it's usually nobody that big. The 1 year I was there...
don't dream as big as Justin Bieber. Come on.
He was there like 2 years ago.
Oh, maybe he was. I don't remember. I'm not a Bieber fan. But I was there... And I was at another park, and I park hopped over to Magic Kingdom in the mid-afternoon, and they were cleaning up. Apparently, the big girl from Glee.
They were cleaning her up.
No, she had performed.
She done exploded.
She had recorded her part. Amber, is that her name?
Oh, yeah. Mercedes.
Yeah, sure. She had recorded her part for, and I was like, oh, well, that would have been kind of cool if I was there, had to been to walk up, and I could have stood in the background and been like, oh, see me on TV behind her. Sure. But anyways,
yeah, you have not persuaded me, but I hope you go and enjoy it. That sounds neat.
I probably never will, but yeah. If I happen to be at the Magic Kingdom on that day and I get a spot on Main Street, look for me. I'll tweet it out when that happens.
Well, one thing I want to do is work at the Magic Kingdom. And I know before I've said I would like to work on the Great Movie Ride, and I do, but just to work at the Magic Kingdom, even if it's just for 6 months, and I thought about it a lot. I don't know where I'd want to work. Like, I don't really want to be outside, and, you know, if you work an attraction, it's just a lot of the same, like, how many? Row 8, how many? Row 4. So I think I would like to maybe be a server or a host of a restaurant, like Be Our Guest or something, where I'm constantly interacting with kids. Like, especially Be Our Guest, where people walk in constantly day after day for the first time and are just, like, in awe of what they see. You know, you get to be the first person to show it to them and say, here is this room and this room, and just kind of see the looks on kids' faces. I don't know, just to be part of the magic. I'm sure it would lose its magic after a while, but I want to do it. And, in fact, every year I'm like, why don't I just do it this year? I'm young. Like, I'd probably have a job waiting for me when I came back. Why not just do it? But then I always talk myself out of it.
Let's do it. Let's all three. Let's do it. Because I agree. And you have cast members that are there that are just there for a job. And that's fine, you know, because you're going to have that. But then you see the cast members or you hear them, the ones that love Disney, who love being a part of the magic. And there's just something extra special about it. I mean, even the people who work on the attractions or sweep up the garbage, they get the opportunity at random times throughout the day to be a part of magic, that Disney magic for somebody. In some, maybe it's such a small way, but we all have stories about cast members who have gone out of the blue and made this magic happen. And to think you could be a part of that for somebody, that's exciting.
Yeah. You know what magic they need to stop? 11-second rant is when the little cast member people start drawing the little characters on the ground with the water.
What? You don't like that?
No, you need to stop that. It's
why?
Like, hey, no. It's like Flick in A Bug's Life. You have to find your place. And if you are supposed to be mopping and sweeping the roads, just mop and sweep the roads.
No, I totally
We don't need amateur drawings of Goofy gathering a crowd.
No. I would agree with you if they were amateur crappy drawings, but these are great.
They are. No. It's like my bus driver in middle school who used to draw Disney characters and give them to the kids.
No, these, when you see these things, I mean, it is Mickey Mouse. It is Goofy. Have you ever seen them, Derek?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay, what will happen is some of the sweepers and janitorial crew, they will get water on the end of their broom. And using the water on the pavement, they will draw out, like, Mickey Mouse's head.
So, like, a circle.
No, but, I mean, it looks like Mickey. It's not just, like, two dots and a smile with Mickey ears.
Okay.
It's like they go into detail. We need to look this up,
put it in
the show notes, because people need to see this and decide for themselves.
In a different universe, in an alternate universe, Jeremy is right now drawing Mickey Mouse on the ground, and I'm in the corner scowling.
Listen, I can't draw Mickey Mouse. We go to the animation thing. I can't draw him with a pencil.
It's an alternate universe.
These people draw him with a broom on the concrete, and it looks amazing. This is great. We'll put some pictures up in the show notes. Go there and then tweet us, Facebook us, let us know if you like it, if you hate it. And
there's a cast system.
You will like it. It's amazing. It's one of those extra magical touches that you're not going to get at Universal, you're not going to get at Six Flags, but these people are drawing beautiful pictures in the sea.
See, I think it would fit well at Six Flags.
No, and the best part is,
like, I'm going to draw Bugs Bunny.
It only lasts like 10 minutes and then it's gone. It's dried up. It's this beautiful art piece and then it's gone.
Okay.
It sounds pretty cool to me, but I can't really pass
my
it
last,
seen it.
My last thing, I'm just going to throw it out here, is getting a bunch of my friends together and renting the Grand One yacht for the night.
Mm.
That's the big yacht.
Is that on the Seven Seas Lagoon?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
The Grand Floridian, just renting that out, having a little party and watching Wishes. And
Captain Metz.
This sounds like a great night. Captain Metz.
Do you know how much that is?
Probably like a liver. No, I think I heard like a 1,000-ish for
okay,
a night.
That's,
but
that's the number that was in my head when you
and
mentioned
the
it.
Max, but your max, you know, is I think it's like 20 to 30 people max. You split that up amongst all those people, if that's what you want to do. Then
it's like $50 a person. That's not bad.
It ain't awful.
Yeah.
Even amongst three people or four people, if you just really wanted to do it, be like, hey, for my 50th wedding anniversary, we're going to go do that.
Yeah. I'll just wrap up my list by just quickly saying the ones I have left. I want to ride It's a Small World in Disneyland when it has the holiday overlay. I've seen the pictures. It is so cool.
Yeah.
I want to see Push the Talking Trash Can in Tomorrowland. I have still never seen this or experienced it.
And you won't anymore. He's gone.
Yeah, he's dead.
Oh. Well,
you don't remember hearing about
excuse
this?
Me, like,
somebody put some contaminated
but I
trash
after, I heard about it, but I thought after some arguments, like, he came back. Like, there was a negotiation.
No, there was negotiating, but then they eventually, for lack of a better word, no pun intended, they canned him.
You totally intended that pun.
No, I really didn't. It just came to me. That's,
okay,
that's the gift I have.
Yes, one of many. I want to spend a week at the parks with just my parents. Just the few times I've been there with them, I know they would love it and to be able to, like, experience it at their own pace. I want to be the last to leave the park at some point. I've seen photos of photographers who do that, and it's neat. I want to take part in Dapper Day. Jeremy and I are actually at Dapper Day this year, and we didn't dress up or anything. But after having seen the people dress up, it was like, okay, they really do enjoy themselves, and it's just kind of cool.
For the record, I did say I would do it, and you said no, but until we got there and saw it. Because I think you, and then you were worried we were going to be the only ones in the whole park that weren't dressed up.
You are making this up. I kind of wanted to do it. I just, it was hot, and I didn't really want to take the time to think about what I was going to wear.
You were making this up.
Yeah, oh, well. I remember saying it.
Well, I remember being like, let's do it. And you were like, I don't know. And then when we got there to the resort, you're like, what if we're the only ones that aren't dressed for Dapper Day? And I was like, I'm sure we're not going to be. But
yeah. But it was cool. I don't know if I'd want to do it in Florida. I mean, no. Granted, it was super hot in California that day, but at least in the evening, it really cools down. In Florida, people wearing their suits, I don't know.
No, Dapper Day in Disneyland.
It just sounds hot and sweaty.
Yeah, but you can do it upright, like probably shorts and suspenders with a bow tie or something. Anyway, it was just kind of cool because it was cool seeing everybody dressed up like people used to dress up just on a normal day at the park.
Yeah.
And that's the whole idea.
Back in the 30s.
Or when the parks were actually open.
Back in the 50s.
And my last one is really dreaming big, but I do want to go on a Disney cruise and visit Tokyo Disneyland at some point in my life.
Yes.
That's a lot of money, but
actually, you know, Tokyo used to be up there for me because of Tokyo DisneySea.
Yes.
But the Hong Kong and the, is it Shanghai?
Shanghai, yep.
That not even open yet?
Right,
those
right.
two are like, those are edging it out every time
now. No,
the attractions they're opening.
Tokyo DisneySea is still at the top of my list.
I thought we were limiting our list to Walt Disney World.
Sorry, I just said it real quick.
Going to all 11 parks in all the world is definitely on my bucket list. Because that's, I mean, come on, it doesn't get much better than that.
I bet they don't draw characters on the street in Paris.
My last two things are this one, even though I have sworn off tours for a while, if there was one tour that I wanted to do at Walt Disney World, it is the Behind the Scenes tour at the Land Pavilion in Epcot. And the reason why is it's very cheap. It's only $20 and it's just an hour. And I really love Living with the Land, the boat ride. Mm-hmm. And so I think it would just be fun to see that ride from a different perspective. Like I said, just an hour. It's very cheap, and I just think it would be a neat thing to see and to walk around. And you know, you see you see the people who are taking the tour
right.
while you're on the boat.
Right, right.
So, anywho, that's the only tour that mildly interests me, and maybe one day I'll do it. And then my other thing is kind of sadistic, but it's something I always think about when I'm in the park.
I want to kill a child.
Close. I see people with balloons. And I really have this urge to pop them.
Oh my gosh, that is close to killing a child.
And so this is my thought. I wish I was rich enough that I could get like a bunch of $20 bills and stick them in my pocket and just walk around the park and pop people's balloons just to see their reaction. And then
$20.
And then hand them a $20 bill for their inconvenience.
How much is the balloon?
I don't know. Balloons are like
they're probably pretty close to
$20. Like $12. But you know, but just think about how funny that would be just to walk around and pop people's balloons.
Just be like, ha.
And then when they like right before they're ready to punch you in the face, be like, here's $20, go buy a new one, kind of a thing.
I just want to do that.
Yeah, I just think that would be hilarious. But
we ended this show on such a negative note. That's so depressing. But definitely count me in. I definitely want to be a part of that.
I mean, I think you would have to do it under the guise of, like, you're on candid camera. Because when people find out they're on camera, it's like, oh, it's okay now.
That's when I whip out my phone real quick. And I'm like, oh, it's for our YouTube channel.
But think about how many times have you seen a child with a balloon? Or how many times have you been hit with a balloon while you're watching Wishes or you're waiting in line for an attraction? And just to whip out a giant needle and just pop that joker and watch those reactions of those parents and the people around you. That would be hilarious.
Thank you for listening to this very special Tinder episode of the Mad Chatters podcast.
Hey, as we end, let me just end on a sentimental note. And let me say that it is Thanksgiving week, and we wish all of our listeners a happy Thanksgiving. And I just want to say I am very, very thankful for both you, Derek, and you, Matthew.
You too. You guys too.
I was going to sit in silence and make him just like wonder if we were going to reciprocate or not. But
no, I reciprocate.
I wonder it every day. Don't worry.
My heart every week. And listen, I sit and listen, you know, listen to the podcast every whatever when it's released. And I had made my wife and my mother-in-law listen to it on occasion when they were here. When my mother-in-law was here, my wife is still here. She has not left yet. And she's like, so people really do sit around and just talk about this on podcasts. I'm like, you have no idea. So having you two to do this with, and it makes sense to us, you know.
Yeah,
it's
well said.
I'm thankful for it.
Me too.
Yeah, and I'm thankful for listeners, because I said from the beginning, even if it's just the three of us getting together and talking about Disney, that's fine with me. But the fact that people listen and the people tell us they listen, that's so awesome. So thank you, listeners.
Absolutely. I just want to thank Epcot.
I want to thank my parents.
Yeah, they took me first.
Now's the time when you start the music and they play us off. Yeah. And one more thing, my manager and my...
No, but for real, if you do want to connect with us more, be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. If you have questions or comments, or you want to tell us about a story you've had at the park, send those to comments@madchatters.net. You can also check out our blog at madchatters.net. And I think that's it. So everybody have a very happy Thanksgiving, and we will see you in December.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Also, one that's in Disneyland, but I just want to mention it. It's the 24-layer cake. Have you seen this? Disney...
Sorry.
That was my chest. A little bit of acid reflux.
Speaking of Satanists...
I will cut that out. Let me start again.
That's... There's your blooper right there.
I can't believe you can hear that.
I heard it, yeah.
I thought it was Matt at first, because you didn't skip a beat.
I know, it just kind of rumbled out of you.